Welcome to Real Talk About Real Estate.
What is it with men and asking for directions?
A weekly conversation about buying, building, listing, and financing real estate.
Let's catch up, huh?
Yeah, let's catch up.
I got a real estate deal. I'm taking it to a final walkthrough, you know.
Okay.
Brought to you by Union Home Mortgage on Niles Road, across from Nye's Apple Barn in St. Joseph.
Delighted to meet you. Overjoyed, enraptured, entranced. Are we ready? Yes. Good.
Union Home Mortgage Corp., NMLS, number 2229, an equal housing lender.
I've been in this house before. I know the lady who owns it.
I liked her. She gave me a real good deal for the summer.
Questions can be sent to John R. Wallace at unionhomemortgage.com. Now, here's your host, John Wallace.
Welcome back to Real Talk About Real Estate. I'm John Wallace in the studio tonight as we work towards the end of the year. It's David Schaefer and Mike Lair of Krugel Lawton in St. Joe in South Bend, both highly experienced CPAs with decades of experience. Sorry, guys, you're not young anymore. Neither am I. and just in a way of disclosure, they were my CPAs when I was self-employed for many years, and our tax returns were a lot more complicated than they are in my W-2 state these days. Dave also serves on the board of Lakeland Regional Health Systems as the treasurer and is active in St. Joe Lions, past president. Mike's involved with Edwardsburg Public Schools Foundation, again as the treasurer, and president of the Edwardsburg Little League, and we could tell lots of baseball and basketball stories as well. The St. Joe office, the number there is 983-0131. Office 805 Van Brunt Avenue near Niles and Napier Avenues, where they've been for years. The website is www.klcpas.com. Welcome, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you.
Thank you.
For those of us who've been in the community, guys, for a long time, a number of years, our entire lives, maybe, for that matter, we remember Murray Marks and Edmonds, which the two of you later purchased and became Schaefer Lair. That's correct, right? I'm old, so sometimes my memory's off, but a great team and a phenomenal business over the course of the years, and of course, both of you and your teams have been highly active in the community beyond work as well. Tell me about deciding to become, it's been 2 years in December now, so you're just at 2 years, the move to Krugel Lawton.
Yep.
Yeah, so Mike and I obviously are not, as you mentioned, getting any younger. So as we were entering our 50s and so on, we were wondering about how things might transition at the end, although we're not immediately ready to do that. And Krugel Lawton approached us, and we said, well, let's hear what they have to say. And I guess to make a long story short, we found a lot of synergies in how they operate, the type of people that are leading that firm. And we thought it was a great opportunity, not only for Mike and I in our transition period here as we get a little bit older, but also some great opportunities for our staff and our clients to have a little more bandwidth, a little more support behind what we could do. They have offices, as you noted, in South Bend and also Elkhart, and we're also affiliated with BDO, which is a large national firm as well. So that's probably a summary of in a short term, why we thought we would do it. It was good for us, good for our staff, and good for our clients. And we thought that was a good way to go. And we're very happy that we did it.
Yeah, the expertise both of you have, from my experience, both my personal tax return and small business LLC S-Corp kind of tax returns and the phenomenal work you guys did for us back then. And of course, we're both clients of Carter Wallace at one point as well. If you're getting ready to buy a second home, let me know. Or the kids, you're going to buy a house for the kids because they can't afford it, depending on their incomes. Are the kids old enough?
I find that interesting because I have my oldest son just graduated from college and is starting his career working for Edgewater Bank starting January 2nd.
And well, we know he's going to get financed.
One of those things that we've been talking about is how smart it might be to stay at home a little bit, save some money, get a down payment on a house and do that instead of renting right away. So we're in that thought process right now.
And I see it quite often. You guys probably do too. So I pick up my cell phone, which hasn't changed since 94, and people go, hey, you helped my wife and I in 98, and we want to give the house to the kids, but we still need some money out of it, and how do we structure that? And I get those calls on a regular basis. How big is your team here in St. Joe?
We currently have 14, I think, with 9 or 10 CPAs and the rest being support staff, I think is where we're at now.
So have you taken over that entire building?
Yeah. Yes. As a matter of fact, we're excited to, and I think we've let it be known for the most part, but we bought what was Perry Ballard's old office on Upton Drive.
Right. And right, golf course out the window.
Yes. There you go. that was not part of the decision making. I want to assure you of that. But
It also doesn't come with a membership.
But we're in the process of renovating the building, and we will be moving after this tax busy season down there because, as Mike said, we're at 14, and that is the top of what we can do in our current location. And we have plans for growth. We have, I think, one new staff person that will be coming on in after he graduates this next spring. And so we need the additional space, and we're excited about that move, which will be happening next spring.
Yeah, we'll almost double our footprint down there from about 3,000 square feet to double that.
Outstanding.
6,000 or 7,000.
Well, yeah. That's a great building, a beautiful location, too.
Yeah.
We need to take a quick break, and because there's lots to talk about as we wrap up our year and get ready to head into 2018. We're talking with David Schaefer and Mike Lehrer of Krugel Lawton in St. Joe. Again, their office number 983-0131. The website is klcpas.com, and the address is going to move. So right now, Van Brunt, but later next year, down on Upton Drive. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Real Talk about real estate, brought to you by Union Home Mortgage on News Talk 94.9 WSJM.
When we were shopping for a home, we really wanted somebody who would be available for us. We both work full time. We have three kids. We needed somebody that would be available when we were available.
Our schedule is crazy, too. It's really hard to find someone that can fit that schedule.
I was really impressed with Union Home Mortgage because we didn't have to worry about somebody not calling us back.
We didn't know anything about it going in, and they were just completely helpful.
And I really appreciated that they didn't try to sell us anything.
Union Home Mortgage in St. Joe is a national mortgage lender that delivers on our promises. Nationally, we average less than 21 days from complete application to closing on your new home. Conventional Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, Veterans VA loans, FHA and rural development, as well as construction and rehab mortgages. All Union Home loan officers are federally and state licensed with continuing education required. You won't find that level of training anywhere else in Southwest Michigan. Union Home Mortgage Corp. NMLS 2229, an equal housing lender. Find us online at unionhomemortgage.com. When you're buying a home, think Union Home Mortgage, right here in Southwest Michigan.
You're listening to Real Talk about real estate, brought to you by Union Home Mortgage on News Talk 94.9 WSJM.
Welcome back to Real Talk About Real Estate. I'm John Wallace again in the studio tonight. Mike Lehrer and Dave Schaefer of Krugel Lawton in St. Joe, South Bend, and Elkhart. The office number there is 983-0131. Currently located on Van Brunt Avenue in St. Joe, but later next year moving over to Upton Drive. And the website is klcpas.com if you're looking for more information both about the organization or both Dave and Mike. Nice profiles there. So this week, the new tax law comes into place, 1,100 plus pages, and nobody knows everything. I don't even think the folks who voted for it know everything. But as we're wrapping up this last few days of 2017, before that starts to take effect, there are some things that folks can take advantage of, or maybe should take advantage of getting ready to, whether it's small business, large business, or personal, to filing in the spring of 2018.
Yeah, so probably the biggest area that you would want to focus on is there's some pretty dramatic changes to what are being allowed as itemized deductions, along with the standard deduction that anybody will get regardless of itemized deductions. You take the higher of the two. A good example of that is the fact that in 2018, if in fact this tax law passes, which by all accounts it will, the maximum amount that you can deduct on your itemized deductions for the combination of state and local income taxes, sales tax, property tax, those three primary ones, is $10,000. And for most people with a decent sized house and, you know, average size income, you are over that $10,000 limit.
You live on Lions Park, you're definitely over.
Yeah. Correct. Yeah. And so as a result, we're encouraging clients to potentially consider paying your winter tax bill in December. If you have estimated tax payments that are due in January, state income tax estimates, possibly pay those in December as well. And again, in any of these situations, always encourage you to talk to your tax professional if you have someone that is doing your return, and or if not, you know, reach out to one to see if in your particular situation there's some advantages to that, because it's not a catch-all type thing. Generally speaking, what I just described is something that you'd want to consider, but there are factors that might make that be different in your particular situation.
Well, and again, the office number is 983-0131. But one of the things that, because we're not talking about with this tax bill, that has a direct impact on, let's say the standard deduction is moving to $12,000 for an individual and $24,000 for a married couple. But that's not going to take place on the tax return I'm filing in February, March, or April,
that's
right?
Correct.
That's going to take, that takes effect in 2019. So in particular, if I'm a small business, though, there is some tax benefits to if I understand it right, to making some capital investments now before the end of the year, as opposed to, well, I'm thinking about doing something in the first quarter.
Yeah, I think we were just looking there September 27th forward, buying some capital acquisitions where you could get 100% deduction for both new and used equipment on a small business, whereby what they call the bonus would only be 50%. And so if you're looking at, I call the wants and needs, you know, if it's something you need, by all means, you should look at that as a small business and try and get that purchased and in place before year end. That's one of the key things, just purchasing it, but you want to have it in place and in use prior to year end, so you get that deduction.
Yeah, I think individually, of course, this is a great time of year. Lions, in your case, or Edwardsburg, Little League, or United Way, or somewhere else. That change in the basic deduction that somebody gets, I think, is going to have an impact on how many people, for instance, give $500 a year to United Way, because I'm not going to have enough necessarily to surpass that married couple $24,000 deduction, and whatever you get for kids too. So right now, for this tax return, I'm getting ready to file in the winter is the right term. I said spring earlier. It's really, well, you can ask for an extension, but winter is the right term. In between now and the end of the year, there's one place where I can maximize that deductions, because I'm going to deduct 100% off of my tax return if I'm itemizing.
Right. And I guess I would give a specific example to that. And this is kind of blending the 2 years. So if I, under current tax law, you know, normally give charitable contributions and so on and so forth, and do itemize,
mm-hmm.
and let's say my total itemized deductions are in the $16,000 to $17,000 range, and I know that next year, 2018, under this new law, my standard deduction is going to go to $24,000 no matter what. So I'm going to get $24,000. In that situation, most likely you won't itemize in 2018.
Right.
So that would be a reason that if I'm in that $18,000 range, making a charitable deduction this year will give you that deduction. If you do it next year, you would get no benefit because it would not get you above the $24,000,
right,
as an example. So that's another area where I really think if there's a focus for individuals that are looking at their tax return and doing some planning here over the last week and a half or so of this year, that's the area that you want to be intentional about, looking at your current year return, looking at the new tax law and seeing what it will look like next year if nothing else changes, and look for opportunities to get some last deductions that they don't really go away because you're getting more of a deduction, but
right,
you're getting a benefit that you wouldn't get by doing it this year. And again, that's very variable based on an individual's situation.
Yeah, and we'll see as all the details on the new tax bill comes out of how I behave financially in 2018, prepping for the 2019 return. But this is that great time of the year. A lot of people take extra time off. And yeah, there's some travel here and there for family, depending on whether you're doing Christmas on Saturday or, you know, or you're doing Hanukkah celebration somewhere, or you've got your actually Christmas Day somewhere. I know we have 5 churches services on Christmas Eve, so I'm shot that day. But to go, you know, let's really take a look at where we are financially. Are we getting to where we want to go, and what can we maximize now? Now, if I don't have any other deductions that I can, something I can do now in between now and the end of the year, currently that IRA contribution in between, there's an expiration date, but after January 1, I can still make a contribution towards retirement accounts that will count on the tax return that I'm filing this winter, right?
Correct. Correct. And something else you could look at, too, if you're just a W-2 employee and you don't itemize, maybe if your employer has a deferred type plan and you mm-hmm. haven't maxed out on that, you could see if you can get that full maximization, which would reduce your W-2 taxable income before it gets to your tax return, whether it's a 403B, 401, 457, whatever type of plan that
yeah.
is. That's actually reducing your wage before it gets the tax return, where an IRA deduction would be deductible on your tax return. It'd be a deduction for
it. You're right. That's after tax income that I've received, and now I'm making an investment in my future, so I get a deduction. But in what you're describing, I get the pre-tax deduction. That goes in before the income taxes, the Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, all that stuff comes out of my paycheck.
Correct. So that would be another item to look at.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see how those numbers change once all the details are in, too. Because I know, for instance, last week, my wife and I were looking at my paycheck, and I went, you know, I only brought home 55% of what I made this year. Only 50. I'm a W-2 employee. but only 55% of that actually made it into our checking account.
Right.
We need to take another quick break. We're talking with Dave Schaefer and Mike Layer from Krugel Lawton in St. Joe, South Bend and Elkhart. Their office number is 983-0131, and the website is klcpas.com. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Real Talk About Real Estate, brought to you by Union Home Mortgage on News Talk 94.9 WSJM.
When we were shopping for a home, we really wanted somebody who would be available for us. We both work full-time. We have three kids. We needed somebody that would be available when we were available.
Our schedule is crazy, too. It's really hard to find someone that can fit that schedule.
I was really impressed with Union Home Mortgage because we didn't have to worry about somebody not calling us back.
We didn't know anything about it going in, and they were just completely helpful.
And I really appreciated that they didn't try to sell us anything.
Union Home Mortgage in St. Joe is a national mortgage lender that delivers on our promises. Nationally, we average less than 21 days from complete application to closing on your new home. Conventional Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, Veterans VA loans, FHA and Rural Development, as well as construction and rehab mortgages. All Union Home loan officers are federally and state licensed with continuing education required. You won't find that level of training anywhere else in Southwest Michigan. Union Home Mortgage Corp, NMLS 2229, an equal housing lender. Find us online at unionhomemortgage.com. When you're buying a home, think Union Home Mortgage, right here in Southwest Michigan.
You're listening to Real Talk About Real Estate, brought to you by Union Home Mortgage on News Talk 94.9 WSJM.
Welcome back to Real Talk About Real Estate. I'm John Wallace in the studio again tonight from Krugel Lawton with offices in St. Joe, South Bend, and Elkhart. It's Mike Layer and David Schaefer. The office number is 983-0131. Office currently on Van Brunt Avenue near Niles and Napier, but after the major tax hurdles of next, so that's probably almost June for you guys with some extensions. I mean, you know, because corporates have to, LLCs, businesses have to file by March 15th. There's the April 15th deadline for us, and it's the rest of I'm just fine, an individual or family tax return. The website again, klcpas.com. And when you guys a couple of years ago were, this is a planning for what's going to happen when I'm ready to retire or the future of my business, and for that matter, individually, for the future of my family, decided that being part of Krugel Lawton was a really good thing for both of you and the employees that you have on your team, because they were working for you individually. That planning for the future of my business or my family has to include some tax planning in those things as well.
Yeah, so you bring up a good point, and it's one that I don't think a lot of people think about maybe until it's a little bit too late. And so we have a lot of small business owners in our community that are family owned, and a parent, let's say, is the primary part of that situation. Oftentimes, they don't think about an exit strategy until it's either too late or there are some surprises at the end. And an example of that, and it's not uncommon, is that somebody has in their mind that I'm going to retire at age whatever, and they have in their mind what they believe the value of their company is.
Mm-hmm.
But they really don't do any independent testing of that. And so oftentimes people will get maybe a year out and just think that automatically within that year, they're going to sell that business, they're going to sell it for what they think it's worth, and they're going to ride off into the sunset. And that process really should start 5 to 10 years before you think you're going to retire. You first need to get some independent verification of the value that you think it is.
Yeah.
Because oftentimes, and it's not uncommon that the owners have an inflated
self-worth
view of what it's worth. And that's not good, bad, or otherwise. It's just kind of a reality.
No, we all believe that our house is worth more money than
exactly.
It is, for example.
Yep. And so if you identify 5 or 10 years ahead of time what reality really is, you can be more intentional about, number one, maybe doing things to increase the value to an outside party. And you can also plan more for the fact that, hey, I'm going to get this when I sell, including, you know, taxes and everything. What's my net going to be? I need to have these other resources available to me to have the kind of retirement that I want. So that's very intentional planning that I don't think people think about all the time, that we would strongly encourage people to do. If you're getting 5, 10 years out from wanting to either sell your business, transition it to the next generation or whatever, you should start doing some planning and getting some professional help with that process and how that may play out.
I know that that the two of you and your team do a lot of auditing for nonprofits, and of course not any nonprofits that you actually serve on the boards for, because that's a conflict of interest. But as part of that tax planning, particularly if I'm a small business owner, how important is that audit? I mean, a full clean audit. This is not a short term, hey, we can get this done over the weekend kind of thing. A full audit of the business, so that a lot of times business owners understand their cash flow, but they don't really understand the full assets that they have or how the liabilities. Let me just give you a small example. I just financed a small business owner, has one employee, and the way he was doing his tax returns and doing them himself, he was on the depreciation for vehicles and equipment using mileage to calculate a depreciation number that then passed over off of that schedule onto his Schedule C. And not being a CPA, I said, you need to go talk to a CPA, because I, in reading tax returns to calculate people's income on a regular basis, again, I'm not a CPA, not planning on becoming one either. That's way too many more years in school. Said, you need to talk to a CPA, because my experience is depreciation of vehicles and equipment is based on that depreciation schedule and the life of the use of the equipment. Mileage is a separate deduction, and you probably might be able to have both of these instead of just, you know, I'm going to get my depreciation based on my mileage. Mileage is on a Schedule C for somebody who's self-employed small business is one line item. Depreciation is another line item. So it's possible that he has been overpaying his taxes by doing them himself.
Yeah, I mean, I think
you haven't seen the specifics. You don't have to say, hey, call us.
I think it highlights the need that oftentimes, and this is going to sound a little bit self-supporting or whatever the case may be, but I think that people underestimate the value of having a tax or an accounting professional involved in their business and part of their business expenses. It seems that that's an area that they think they can maybe save some money on. And oftentimes the money saved is not worth the money that, you know, they're losing out on by not being aware of, you know, the very complicated things that come into play. And we deal with this day to day. We think that we can provide a real service to folks in that regard. And it's valuable. I would encourage any, you know, small business person to have a tax professional that is on their side and at least on an annual basis, looking at what they're doing, giving suggestions as to how they might be able to do things differently, and most importantly, taking full advantage of the deductions and the planning opportunities that are there.
Well, and that's whether it doesn't have to necessarily come from an audit, but the ability for you to, for instance, look at my not necessarily on an individual basis, though you could that way too if you're in a high enough income bracket, but on a small business owner side, look at the past couple of years of my tax returns. And these days, we all ought to be running those businesses out of, whether I'm running QuickBooks or some other software, all that data should be easily available to hand to your teams to take a review and go, well, we could have saved this here and we could have saved that there. And there are times, I've done it in the past, where I've refiled my tax return, file an amended return.
Yeah, I think one of that, you mentioned not-for-profits, but this can translate to small businesses. Yes, they buy these off-the-shelf bookkeeping software, QuickBooks, whatever it is, but they still have to understand what the output is. And I think an offshoot of our services is helping them understand that, not only in the not-for-profit world, where we can really be of value to that, meaning a lot of these don't even have an internal accounting person.
Right.
They have a very strong board of people that they find sometimes. But even just coming in, help them set up internal controls. Transparency is a big thing in the not-for-profit world now. And so you want to make sure your accounting controls are as good as they can be. And the accounting for the donor receipts that come in, you had mentioned if a small business owner, that they're accounted for correctly and that the monies are being used. But also translate that into a small business owner. Again, could be a spouse just doing the bookkeeping, or you look for the advisor first to look for the bookkeeping, and then the tax services also piggyback off of that as well.
Well, and we've seen it generally about once a quarter, where you were just talking about controls. And I remember when, Dave, you guys were auditing United Way many years ago when I was board chair, but certainly when I was one of the officers on board. And you came back to us with one of the recommendations is you've got to, you know, if somebody's opening the mail with the incoming checks in it, that's that person. But that's not the same person who signs off on the checks and not the same person who makes the deposits, so that there's three different sets of hands taken in there, because, again, and it least once a quarter. Think about, was it Village Markets? We see stories in the paper where somebody was misappropriating funds for their own personal usage, and the business owner didn't have any idea until it was kind of too late, and good luck getting that money back.
One of the things I think the simple, if we're talking about controls and you're a small business owner, I think one of the most simplest things that you can do is open your bank statement. They cannot change things on the bank statement.
Right.
They can change how a check looks in the computer software, and they can change if you've got someone writing the checks for you. You may think you're signing a check one way, and then it gets changed before it gets mailed out.
Right.
And just that simple control of getting a bank statement sent to you as a small business owner and opening it, even if you're sitting at home at night, is just the highest level that I can recommend. Obviously, if you're a larger corporation, yes, you may have different levels, but that is just the simplest control you can
add. If you're a larger corporation, again, you probably have multiple people working in those departments and multiple sets of eyes looking at things. And again, if you're a larger corporation, you're probably paying for an audit every year.
Yes.
Because your financial institutions who are providing you the commercial lending, they want to see that. They not only want to see your tax returns, we're talking millions and millions or hundreds of millions of dollars. They want to see that audited statement as well to make sure that I'm amazed because I see it almost every week. Even after the collapse, the number of people in this country who get arrested for mortgage fraud, some of them working at major institutions, some of them vice presidents. And here we're a much smaller community, but you still see on a smaller scale, some folks just don't have that moral fiber that says, well, this is right and that's wrong.
Yeah, I would just add to Mike's point, to build off of the opening of the bank statements and obviously taking a look at it and seeing if anything at all looks weird and then questioning it. But most importantly, if you're doing that, let the people that are handling your banking activity and stuff know that is something that you do, because that's the greatest deterrent right there. Because usually when we see there is fraud, it's because somebody is trusting too much and somebody sees an opportunity that mm-hmm. no one's overlooking what they're doing. The act of opening the bank statement is important, but probably more importantly is the act of letting the people that are, you know, depositing checks, writing checks and so on and so forth know that, you know what, by the way, I look at this bank statement every month and I look at it closely.
And not just, for instance, as an example, it's not just I'm looking at my QuickBooks account, which you might have said this money was deposited mm-hmm. and these bills got paid.
That's not
the same as the bank statement.
To your point, one of the key elements of any independent audit that we would do for somebody is independent verification of balances. And that includes bank statements. You know, we don't ask the company to give us their bank statement. We ask the bank to send us a copy of the bank statement. Because right. There's been times when, with technology today, people hand you a bank statement and they've altered the bank statement. It's not even
I'm
the real bank
writer.
Statement.
I'm a PDF writer. I can make it say whatever
Absolutely.
I want.
Correct. Yeah. Yep. So,
by the way, this is just slightly off topic. Have you guys seen The Accountant with Ben Affleck?
I have not, actually.
Oh, the movie? Yeah.
Don't watch it with the kids. But that's an awesome. He had, you know, that skill level. Of course, he's an actor, so I don't know that he really has that skill level.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind being his CPA or investment advisor, though. But, yeah. Well, after the divorce, maybe not. But, but yeah, there's some fascinating analysis of how he runs through an audit. How long have you been with the company? Okay, I need 20 years now,
correct.
Or whatever, in that board meeting.
Correct.
Instead of just the past five.
Yeah.
Boy, that's got to be an interesting job, because that's not like you can just run an algorithm and go.
Yeah. What he did in that movie was forensic accounting, and that's mm-hmm. what he was digging back and looking at even transactions that may be repeating themselves. Because I think one of the things it said was the people who perpetrate fraud tend to use the same sort of number each time.
Right.
You know, whether they're taking $100, well, it may be $100 or $200, but it's the same equivalent. And so you look for those consistencies there.
Well, it's the same kind of folks who steal passwords and log and stuff, and they, you know, they don't necessarily take $10,000 out of the account. They take $125, but
right.
they do it out of 150,000 accounts, and all of a sudden that turns into something larger. Movies off to the side for a second. We need to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. Again, we're talking with Mike Layer of Krugel Lawton and David Schaefer, also Krugel Lawton. Offices in St. Joe, South Bend, and Elkhart. Their office number is 269-983-0131. Office currently on Van Brunt Avenue, New Niles and Napier, but moving over to the Perry Mallard Building on Upton Drive, around the corner from the golf course, right off M63, real easy to get to. And the website is klcpas.com. And by the way, the move is not till next spring. So, you know, if you're looking for the offices, stay with Van Brunt for now. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Real Talk About Real Estate, brought to you by Union Home Mortgage on News Talk 94.9 WSJM.
When we were shopping for a home, we really wanted somebody who would be available for us. We both work full-time. We have three kids. We needed somebody that would be available when we were available.
Our schedule is crazy, too. It's really hard to find someone that can fit that schedule.
I was really impressed with Union Home Mortgage because we didn't have to worry about somebody not calling us back.
We didn't know anything about it going in, and they were just completely helpful.
And I really appreciated that they didn't try to sell us anything.
Union Home Mortgage in St. Joe is a national mortgage lender that delivers on our promises. Nationally, we average less than 21 days from complete application to closing on your new home. Conventional Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, Veterans VA loans, FHA and rural development, as well as construction and rehab mortgages. All Union Home loan officers are federally and state licensed with continuing education required. You won't find that level of training anywhere else in Southwest Michigan. Union Home Mortgage Corp., NMLS 2229, an equal housing lender. Find us online at unionhomemortgage.com. When you're buying a home, think Union Home Mortgage, right here in Southwest Michigan.
You're listening to Real Talk About Real Estate, brought to you by Union Home Mortgage on News Talk 94.9 WSJM.
Welcome back to Real Talk About Real Estate. I'm John Wallace with Dave Schaefer and Mike Layer from Krugel Lawton in St. Joe. You may have known them as Schaefer Layer previously, of course, in their many years in Southwest Michigan and spread out around Southwest Michigan, too. I'm going to go off on the personal side for a second because, spreadsheets and numbers is what you guys and your teams do all the time. And I, of course, am not fond of big organizations that make decisions just strictly on here's the spreadsheets and the people side of your business. Talk to me about the things that you're involved in, Mike, in Edwardsburg.
Yeah, I've been in that community for almost 10 years now. And probably one of the things that's been close to my heart has been the Little League. I just became the past president just this past year, but I joke with people, if you want to see how community works, become a president in the local Little League.
Yeah.
I've been a preacher, a counselor, an umpire. It's all rolled into one. And it's funny, sometimes you have to make decisions that some sides don't like.
Oh,
All-Stars is the worst time of year in Little League baseball. If we could get rid of that and just let the kids play for two more months, I think it would be the best thing. Because you're never going to please everyone, and there's always a parent, whether they're the 12th kid or the first kid, they're all-stars. And the playing time that goes along with that, I can't, once the coach is picked, that's out of my hands. But
Right. But
the fallout that comes after that sometimes is not fun. But I will tell you, I've learned a lot from the accounting side. The concession stand, just how to control cash. I mean, the volume of cash that we go through in a three-month period, and my biggest fear was, okay, local CPA, president of Little League, and $10 disappears.
Right.
I mean, I had to really protect my integrity, plus protecting the assets of the league to make sure that they all got to where they were supposed to get to.
Yeah. As somebody who coached baseball for 15 years, youth, it's a very interesting experience. I'll have to send you the link to the blog I wrote about leadership through Little League and allowing kids to be kids as opposed to those competitive coaches who have to win at all costs.
The gentleman I replaced had a great line. He goes, Little League would be fun if we could get rid of the parents. I love that line at our board meetings, but I mean, there was a lot to that.
Yeah.
You know,
well, and I'm down in Edwardsburg in Meridian Title there fairly often. A phenomenal community. And of course, I was there for the football game where they destroyed Benton Harbor. And I watched the finals this year for the football team. And Grand Rapids West Catholic was a tough opponent. But Cass County in particular, you're also a member of the school foundation.
Yep. The school foundation. Yeah. The Edwardsburg School Foundation is set up to give scholarships to high school kids from Edwardsburg. And I think last year we gave 16 scholarships out, and there was another 4 scholarships available through individual donors that we also monitored as well. Some large farm group in the community, Kirkdorfer Farms, I think gives $5,000 a year, and so that's another 5 scholarships that can be given out, $1,000 per kid. As long as you go to the school, meet the requirements, the dollars are out there. I always say the kids, the first time, you know, the kids now have to learn how to become adults. When they apply for it, that's the first easy $500. The second $500, you have to prove you're in good standing at the school, and that you're going to go there. And a lot of these kids forget about that next step.
Ah.
And some money is left on the table, and it frustrated me all the time. So, yeah.
Well, and as we were talking a little earlier in the show about if you need a tax deduction and making a donation to a nonprofit, there's a great place, because things like the Berrien Community Foundation or the Edwardsburg School Foundation, St. Joe, Lakeshore has one as well. You're talking about money that's going to make a difference for a long time to come, not just the $500 scholarship that's there, because you're not giving away the principle of
Correct.
The foundation balances.
Correct.
In most cases, the foundations continue to build their balances, and it's the dividends and the yields that they earn that
absolutely
that turn into those donations.
Absolutely.
And Lions do that. St. Joe Benton Harbor Rotary does that. Tell me a little bit about, boy, I can't imagine being on the Lakeland Health Board. I don't even know if we want to discuss that, Dave. That just sounds way too complicated for me with all the projects that continue to go.
Yeah, and I'll discuss that briefly, but I thought I'd maybe take the opportunity you kind of alluded to earlier about kind of our firm's history of being very involved in the community and so on and so forth. And I think it would be appropriate to do a little shout out to Maury McMurray, mm-hmm. Ray Marks, and Jeff Edmonds, who were the founders of the firm and that became Schaefer and Lehrer and now is Krugel Lawton. And I think both Mike and I would say that they were outstanding mentors for us as young CPAs about how to treat clients, how to give back to the community, participate, and be more than just a business in town. And so those three gentlemen were great mentors for us. They're still here living locally and giving back to the community even as we speak, and just great role models and mentors for all of us. And I just wanted to kind of throw that out there. So,
knowing all three of them, I understand that.
And as far as the Lakeland Board, I'm honored to be on that board. I can tell you that every involvement that I have with meetings and so on and so forth, I am very, very impressed with the leadership we have at the hospital right now. Lauren Hamill is an outstanding leader, and the staff that are his direct reports are wonderful people, caring people, and I'm really proud to say that all of the decisions that we as a board make at the hospital and what the staff do is about providing the best possible care for the people in our community. And obviously, that's a very difficult thing to achieve, and in certain circumstances, sometimes people may not feel that, but I can tell you that that is what the goal is. And everything that we're doing, the investment in the new addition that we're doing over there, is all about making this be a place where the local people can get good quality health care. And we like to give back to the community as well as a board as well. So I'm honored to be on that board, and I'm just very pleased with the leadership we have there.
Yeah. And of course, Lauren has a feather in his cap or back pocket because Gary Hamill is one of the leading global business consultants in the world. And if you haven't ever read the book, it's out a few years ago now, called What Matters Now. His insight into how you build teams, how you lead organizations, Gary's, mm-hmm. that is.
Yeah.
It'd be fun to sit between the two of them and listen to the conversations.
Yeah.
So. That relate to the growth of the hospital in the area into a world-class place where we not only increase that talent, but also the ability to get the health care that any of us might need at any given moment.
Right.
That's part of, I think, tax preparation, too. And you're not attorneys, and I'm not an attorney, and we're not financial advisors in that licensing kind of sense. But when we were talking earlier again about tax planning and preparation, you just never know when a drunk driver will run a red light or will hit an ice patch. I mean, if we look at all the accidents and problems we have on I-94 in the winter in particular, that just ties back into I really need to spend, particularly when you guys have time, maybe a little bit now in the holidays before you get into January and things get nuts, particularly in February for all CPA firms, but some planning on in life planning and my financial planning. There's a financial advisor, there's attorneys doing legal documents, and there's got to be a CPA firm in there helping all of us fit together, because the attorneys and the financial advisors are not CPAs, and everybody has a different piece of knowledge that fits in to make it a whole picture to protect your family.
That's a very good point that you bring up, and we strongly support with all of our clients that they put together a team. And, attorneys will have people come in and have a certain need, and it's not all about just the legal part of it. Same thing with financial advisors. And same thing with us. We'll have people come in, and oftentimes they may be asking a question that's more of a legal question than an accounting question, but it leads us to always encourage getting a team that works together. And it's never too soon, to your point, to think about, things that we don't want to have happen, but may happen, especially if, again, you are a small business or have a situation where you have your value in your estate is not easily identified dollar amount of a bank account or a 401k or mm-hmm. something that is easily determined. Businesses have a lot of variability in what value is, and so it's even more important to do really good planning for estate planning, end of game planning, and so on and so forth, because if you don't do that, it can create a lot of stress for the next generation who's trying to figure out, what did mom and dad really want?
Succession planning, particularly if you're a small business owner, because this may tie into you and helping it better for the entire team to join Krugel Lawton, but I don't have any children coming up, for instance, who would have wanted to own Carter Wallace when it still existed, right? And a lot of business owners are finding that these days. Some of them, yes, the daughters or the sons, glad to come up into the business, want to take over the business when mom and dad are ready to retire and those buyouts and agreements get executed, depending on inheritance tax. But and maybe you could do the transition before there's an inheritance tax. But a lot of our kids in that next generation, and this is not picking on millennials or Generation X or Generation Y, that's not where their interests are. So as small business owners, how do I work this out so that, because I'm not just responsible for my income, I'm responsible for the income of the entire team.
And having something that is set in place is very important.
Yeah, I think communication is the key. I mean, I think you have to recognize as a small business owner, where is that end game? If you don't, that business may die with you.
Yeah.
And there is no transition. But if you'd like to see a legacy of that, then start having that dialogue now with your group of professional advisors. I know this may sound funny, and I even thought of it when I bought in at Schaefer and Lehrer. Was the day I bought in was also the day I started thinking of selling.
Yeah.
I know we mentioned 5 to 10 years, but I don't think that process can start too soon. You just never know when that transition may happen. Obviously with us, 2 years ago, that came knocking on our door and we were foolish enough not to listen. And it has been a great transition. We mentioned the talent, technology, and resources that they brought along, and to make us that much of a stronger firm in the mm-hmm. community and continue to grow, because we're going to increase our footprint and we want to grow and help people in the community.
Well, and then now that you're looking for another cornerstone award for growth, but again, you're still adding people now into the team, and that's a hard, difficult process, because it's got to be the right fit, not just for do they have the right skill set that we're looking for, but do they fit within the other 11 people who are currently working in the office. You can bring the most talented superstar you want. If they're a disruptive force to your team, that's not going to work.
Yeah, I think that's something that we've learned over the years. And one of the reasons why we knew it would be a good fit with Krugel Lawton is that when we heard them describe the culture that they had in South Bend and Elkhart and the types of people they wanted to hire, it was identical to what we looked for and what we tried to do in St. Joe. It's not just about getting bigger, making more money. It's about providing a place to work that feels like home, because mm-hmm. we spend a lot of time with each other.
Wow.
You know?
40 plus hours a week, in a tax season, 80 hours a week.
Yeah, maybe more so than we even do with our own families. And so that is the goal. That's what they're trying to do. And so it was just another synergy that we had with them that led us to the ultimate decision that we made.
Did Krugel Lawton have other services or products that they brought to the table that you weren't offering as Schaefer Lehrer?
Actually, it was almost a little bit the other way around, in the sense that in Indiana, the units of government are audited by the state, not by independent public accountants. And obviously in Michigan, that's not the case. But
thank God.
Yeah. But in Indiana, there's been talk, and we anticipate that in the fairly near future, that could change. And so they saw in South Bend and Elkhart that a way to get a head start on the Indiana CPA community, because we're going to have that experience of doing that. Mm-hmm. And so that was something that was very attractive to them. I think the primary thing they gave us was resources in people, and also higher level, more complex tax type things that might come along, where when that would occur before, we would have to go within our circle of friends or connections.
You're more training to get expertise.
But we may have to go outside the firm
to
get some of that support. And we don't need that anymore, because we either have it in South Bend and Elkhart, or with the BDO Alliance, we have it even at a higher level through our affiliation with them.
Well, it's a funny thing how people don't understand our region as much either. I had somebody a couple of weeks ago, a realtor, say to me, how far away is Elkhart from, you know, $1,000 actually, how far away is Indiana from Edwardsburg? And I said a mile and a half.
Yeah.
And you're in Elkhart. It's right, you know.
That's why they call it Michiana.
Right. Yeah. Well, and that's why you get so many folks. My grandfather was the opposite. He lived in Buchanan and worked down on Grape Road. And now, of course, there are folks who are coming from Indiana to live in Michigan, even if their job is on the other side of the border.
Right.
Mike was one of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, now you go back and forth. You can zip up to say, that's the nice thing about Edwardsburg and Cass County. You can zip up here to St. Joe or you can drop down Indiana.
Amen.
You're close either way. Well, gentlemen, anything else you want to talk? Let's do this. Tell me what kind of office hours you're holding in between roughly now and the end of the year. Of course, Christmas Eve is a Sunday, so you're not open anyways. Christmas Day and New Year's Day are both Mondays, so the office will be closed that way. But is there time, if I wanted to sit down and just have a consultation with somebody in the office, are there going to be some normal office hours in between?
Yeah, so for this week is completely normal. Now, we have, from the standpoint of our front office support, have chosen that the week between Christmas and New Year's that we're technically closed.
Good
so
for you.
If you call the office, you won't get a live person answering the phone, but obviously our phone systems will get you to, you know, whomever mm-hmm. you'd want to talk to. And as a practical matter, there are going to be people working between Christmas and New Year's. And so if there was some last minute type thing, you know, with a message left, somebody would definitely get back to you. I know, for instance, I plan to be in there part of that week.
Oh, there's so much family time we can all take.
So we try to limit that, just because once we hit the new part of the calendar year, we're going pretty hard.
Is it really as quick as January 2nd that it starts to take off, or is it more towards the end of January?
I mean, the real heavy hours probably hit between mid-February through April 15th. And then there's just this kind of gradual. So if we start out the first week of January, everybody's working, you know, basically 40 hours a week, it might be that it's 42, 43.
Right.
And it just kind of keeps working its way up. And we try to limit. I think the ideal thing is that we have people not work more than 50 hours a week, even during the busiest time. But that reality is not always there.
I understand that. June, July, and August for us are a different animal, too.
And I was going to add on the communication side. It's funny. I pick up new clients, and they always say, well, my CPA never talks to me. I think we have to be realistic of how technology works. Our voicemails get converted to emails, which
right.
that email gets sent to my iPad or my iPhone. And so clients who want to access during this week will be available. We'll see. The phone may not be answered by the support staff, but we understand this is a crucial time here before year end.
Right.
And we want to make sure we get them the right information as quick as they can so they can have an informed decision to make. And so to say you're not accessible, I think in today's world
that works for all of us. My office may be closed, but I take phone calls all the time from people who are trying to buy a house or need to buy a house or need to know if they can buy a house, because that conversation doesn't take as long.
Yeah.
Not like I have to spend 3-4 hours in that. Mike, Dave, an honor having both of you in the studio. Congratulations both on the growth of your office and into Krugel Lawton and the new building coming up next year. Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, Happy Kwanzaa, and if I know you're not atheist, so we'll let that one go.
All right. Well, thanks for having us.
Yeah.
We really appreciate it. And again, it was our privilege to sit down with you today, and we appreciate it.
Yeah, and look for something on the new office probably in the spring for an open house.
Ribbon cutting. Here we go.
You've been listening to Real Talk About Real Estate, a weekly conversation about buying, building, listing, and financing homes in Southwest Michigan.
Satisfying a fundamental urge for a man to want his own roof and walls and fireplace.
Brought to you by Union Home Mortgage on Niles Road across from Nye's Apple Barn in St. Joseph. Questions and comments can be sent to John R. Wallace at UnionHomeMortgage.com.
Thank you. Goodbye now. Goodbye. Goodbye. Thank you. Goodbye.
Union Home Mortgage Corp. NMLS number 2229. An equal housing lender. Real talk about real estate. We'll be back next Thursday on News Talk 94.9 WSJM.
Well, I hope you folks enjoyed yourself.